Colorado has about 155 different species that are actually endangered or threatened or are considered species of concern. And this week, we really only have time to focus on a few of them. So we're focusing primarily on Canada lynx and the Gunnison sage grouse. And we'll also be talking about gray wolves this week.
So when we use terms like endangered or threatened or species of concern, it's one you just used there, are they legal terms? Do they what do all of those different terms mean? And so when we say endangered, what exactly is the reality for these different species?
Right. So a species, those are legal terms, and a species that is considered endangered is one that is actually endangered of going extinct if we don't take action to help protect it and its habitats. A species that is listed as threatened is a species that could become endangered if we don't take action. So right now, they're considered fairly stable, but they do need our help in order to not, they're kind of on that tipping point. And then a species of special concern has some real specific threats to it and could at some point become threatened or endangered. So those are legal terms. It's sort of a hierarchy of endangerment for that animal.
Well, we'll talk about the three specific ones you're focusing on this week. But just to clarify, did you say there's more than 150 species in Colorado that's somewhere on that spectrum?
Yes, there are 155 plants and animals on that spectrum.
That's horrifying. Or is that pretty standard? I mean, where is that compared to previous years?
Those numbers remain pretty stable. It takes a lot of work, actually, to get an animal or a species listed onto that spectrum, which is one of the things that we do as a nonprofit, is to try to call awareness to those species that even aren't on that spectrum and should be, because once they're on that listing, they can get protection either statewide or federally. So that's one of the actions that we take.
So one of the animals that we'll talk about that you're really working to raise public awareness on this week is the Canada lynx. How prevalent, how large is that population here in Colorado?
There are roughly somewhere between 150 to 250 Canada lynx here in Colorado. They were totally gone from the state until about 1999 when Colorado Parks and Wildlife did a wonderful reintroduction effort here in Colorado. And so since that time, we've brought lynx into the state. They have a pretty stable population. They've had kittens. There has been studies where we've radio collared them and we know where they are. So lynx is currently listed as endangered in our state, but efforts have been pretty successful in bringing them back.
What about the sage grouse, which was hotly debated at various different public meetings and at the state legislature and at various different areas? What's going on right now with the sage grouse? Because that really seemed to be a hot topic of conversation for much of Colorado in recent years.
Right. So we have a couple of different species of sage grouse here in Colorado. One is the greater sage grouse, which is the one that really got all of the publicity in the last few years. And that's because we were doing range-wide planning for the sage grouse to try to actually keep it off of the Federal Endangered Species Act. And so those plans involved Colorado and Montana and other western states. And those plans are in effect, but they're under question now, pretty much like everything in the conservation world. The second species of grouse, which is the one that we'll be focusing on this week, is called the Gunnison sage grouse, and that's a much smaller population of birds. There's only 5,000 left in the world, and the majority of them are here in Colorado with a few in Utah, and that bird is actually considered threatened, and we are working really hard right now to protect habitat for them on BLM lands so that they have the spaces that they need to survive into the future. So that's the grouse that we'll be focusing on, the Gunnison sage grouse this week.
The first sage grouse, though, that you mentioned, did you say that there are efforts to get it off or to keep it off the federal list?
Right. So we were working, states were working really hard to put conservation plans in effect across broad lands so that that species wouldn't actually have to be listed as endangered or threatened.
But what are some of the benefits, though, of being on some of these lists? Because does that not afford it more protection and maybe more resources for conservation?
That's correct. So once a species is put on the endangered species list, we can begin to work to protect habitat on public lands across its range. Without that, we're looking at voluntary conservation efforts for that species. But with the greater sage grouse, the goal was to bring together sort of these broad groups of people. We're bringing together ranchers, we're bringing together industry people, we're bringing together conservationists all to the table to try to come up with collaborative plans to protect that bird without having to list it federally.
Well, the third animal that you're focusing on this week is the gray wolf. How prevalent is that population here in Colorado and what's its status?
The gray wolf is federally listed as an endangered species. It's also listed as an endangered species in Colorado. Right now, as far as we're aware, there are no gray wolves in Colorado, but there are wolves in Wyoming, and occasionally one will come down into Colorado. But at this point, we are unaware of any wolves in Colorado.
Is there a commonality as to what the threats are and why these species are endangered? What would that be?
The primary threat is habitat loss. Species need places to live, areas to roam. They need to have connected landscapes so that they can migrate. And so habitat loss is the primary factor of why animals become endangered. And humans are usually the cause of that habitat loss.
Is there a way for development and population, human population growth, to live in tangent with species so we're not creating this situation where we're seeing more and more species becoming endangered? Can the two things be compatible?
I hope so. I think they can. And what it takes is some real far-reaching planning and forethought. We have 22 million acres of public land here in Colorado that can support a lot of biodiversity, a lot of species. But we need to keep those islands of public land connected so that as our climate change, as threats come in, that animals can move across the landscape and get where they need to go in order to survive.